Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast as we talk about Midwestern State softball. And the offense exploded this past Sunday afternoon. Hope you were out at Mustangs Park to see Midwestern State put on quite a display against UT Permian Basin as they scored 18 runs, taking the final game of a six-game homestand. They're getting ready to go out on the road for a while. We won't see the girls back at Mustangs Park. It'll be almost a month between games, so you're going to be away for a while. We'll talk more about Cameron and Oklahoma Christian, the two teams you're going to see this week. But I do want to kind of revisit the homestand, particularly the action we saw this past week against Angelo State and UT Permian Basin, and just kind of your overall feelings about the way the team played over the course of the homestand and particularly how the homestand ended.
Yeah, I mean, we came out against Angelo not great in the first inning. I think we gave up 9 runs in the first inning. And to me, it was our defense just did not make the routine plays.
Those were 9 unearned runs.
Yeah. So our defense didn't make the plays that we had been making. And I kind of blame myself because I jinxed us. We talked so highly of our defense and our pitching. and then, you know, it was just a matter of a time that we had that game that kind of fell apart. But, you know, I felt like getting that game out of our system now early in the season, I mean, if we have to do that, we have to do that. But kind of shot ourselves in the foot a little bit the first inning, giving up 9. And then at that point, it was just kind of we tried to minimize, but Angelo can swing it. And so
that's a really good offense that they have.
Yes, they have a good set of offense. A lot of really good hitters in the lineup. I felt like, KK did a great job of getting outs and, you know, we had a better opportunity game 2 to potentially win that game. And so, overall with the teams we have faced, I feel like Angelo has definitely been the more impressive, but it's really their offense that makes them the most impressive. So, you know, I felt like we had a chance to win game 2. Had we scored in the 6th inning when we had runners at 2nd and 3rd, I felt like it could have been a better or different outcome in the 7th inning, you know, and I think we ended up giving up 4 runs.
Yeah, for sure. I think momentum would have been totally different. The vibe would have been totally different. Their confidence would have been shaken a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think we had them on their heels a little bit, but again, it's just a matter of, you know, finding that base hit in that moment and, you know, making the opportunity count. And you know, we came out against UTPB. You know, I felt like that's 2 games that we should have won. Had a couple of miscues offensively that we could have, you know, put a run across the board early on and then a miscue in the 6th. But overall, I mean, I was super happy with the way we responded in game 2. And I thought we swung the bats a lot better than we have. We had a different approach at the plate and really just tried to find the center of the ball, make them make plays, and ground balls got through. So shout out to our offense for, you know, coming alive in game 2. And I do hope that that is something that we can carry into this weekend is our offense and how much they exploded at the plate.
Well, it's kind of a nice character trait that you showed this past week because I thought you responded well from the loss to San Angelo in game 2.
Yeah.
Even though they ended up winning that game,
yeah,
your girls came back and very competitive in that game. And then the same thing happened Sunday. You lose a heartbreaker, a close game, albeit not a 1-run game,
right,
but it was virtually the same thing.
Yeah.
It was a close, low-scoring game, and then the girls really responded in the nightcap of that doubleheader with an offensive explosion that we haven't seen this year. You talked about a different approach at the plate. How much different was that approach, and what was the advice you gave to the team?
I think it was just doing the necessary things that you have to do to win games, and UTPB did that. They had runners in scoring position, and it wasn't necessarily pretty, but they put the ball in play and, you know, good situational hitting. And I felt like we lacked that in game 1. And so it's just talking about doing the necessary things that you have to do to win. And sometimes it's not, you know, the home run over the fence or, you know, the base hit off the wall. Like it might be a miss hit that potentially scores 2 runs, but ugly works. And so I just, you know, just talked about changing our approach at the plate and finding more contact. You know, if you eliminate strikeouts and you put the ball in play, you give yourself a 50% chance of getting on base.
you talk about home runs over the fence, and Landa hit a home run over the fence that may still be going as it traveled past that flagpole. I think maybe the least surprised person in the park was you, because you saw her do that at Fort Scott 14 times, I think.
Yeah, she did that a few times. And so she's really been putting a lot of work lately, and it's great to see that pay off. And, you know, it was a big moment for her. Her teammates were super excited for her. But, I mean, overall, she had that inning where she kind of, you know, busted it open. But we talked about Tatum Waller and Maddie Stewart, too. Both had a great day offensively at the plate in game
Those two. Are two bats that are really starting to heat up, yes, for you, or so it seemed, yes, on Sunday.
Yeah, and we moved Tatum up a little bit in the lineup, more towards the top of the lineup, so she could get some more at-bats. We had her probably down in the 6 or 7, you know, in the preseason, but we moved her up a little bit. She is a great contact hitter. And then, you know, Maddie was in the 4-hole for us, and I moved her down a little bit in the lineup for her to see some different pitching. And I feel like it's built some confidence for her. So that's exciting.
When you're constructing the lineup card, what's your approach? What's going through your mind as you're putting that lineup together?
I mean, you want somebody at the top that can start the offense, and I feel like Erica gives us a great opportunity to do that. She sees a lot of pitches. She works deep in the counts. She can bunt. You know, she can slap. And what was it, like a 15-pitch at-bat?
Yeah, yeah. She had I believe it was 15 or 16. It was something like that.
So, I mean, that's a tough out. And so for
that's
her
what she's
start,
been, at least through the homestand.
Yes.
I mean, when she's at bat, I think about you in our first podcast when you said, I want tough outs,
yes,
and that's exactly what she's been.
Yes, she's going to always be a tough out. She's going to give her best at the plate. She's a competitor. I feel like she hasn't really scratched the surface yet of how good she can be. I think she's just kind of right there, but I'm excited to see that kid kind of blow up.
And she's doing okay. I know she had to leave the game Sunday. She went for a dive,
yes,
on a fly ball in the gap, and I think it came back and bit her in the jaw.
Yeah, you know, just a bruised jaw, but she's good. She said that yesterday she was still a little sore, but for the most part, she's a tough kid. So
I know I talked to Gary that was out at football spring training, and Gary's out there. I was asking about Erica, and he said she was just glad. He was glad that she didn't have any dental damage.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it was tough, but she's somebody that really sets the tone for us. We did bump up Haley Acosta. She's had great at-bats. Again, she's a kid that sees a lot of pitches, works deep in accounts. She's going to find a way on base. And so with moving her up and Tatum up, you know, Chipper's in the 4 right now. 4-hole for us. And, you know, it's not really a – typical 4-hole, but I like it because Chip brings a lot of different things.
She can drive in runs.
Yes.
If you get runners on in front of her,
yes,
she can drive them in.
She can also bunt. And so, you know, being able to utilize that, like, she's a smart kid at the plate. She knows what she's going up there to look for. And so, really, I mean, I wouldn't say that we have a traditional lineup by any means. I feel like we go with, you know, who we feel like the situation, if somebody gets on base, who do we want behind them. And I've also paid a lot of attention to who comes up with 2 outs, who's coming up in the big moments in the game where we have 2 outs, we have runners in scoring position. Like I try to keep on my lineup card, I try to keep track of who's leading off that inning, who's coming, you know, up with 2 outs or a base hit situation where we need to score a run. So just kind of like messing with that at times. You know, we may flip-flop the lineup, but that's really what you have to do if you're not winning games. You have to find your best combination, and you have to kind of mix things up a little bit. I trust the process. I absolutely think that good things are coming, but sometimes you have to tweak things a little bit to see if it gives you a different look.
You know, just backtracking for a minute, because Landa's home run was definitely the highlight of her day, but she had hit the ball hard in game 1 against Permian Basin. She's hit one at what appeared to be over the head of the center fielder, who did a good job tracking back and made the play.
Yeah, it was a hit and run.
And then she – oh, was it?
Yeah, it was.
And then she hit a hard line drive to third, which turned out to kind of kill a rally because it was an inning-ending double play. But all you can ask somebody to do is hit the ball hard, and she barreled that up and hit a line drive right to the third baseman.
Yes, and I feel like we have, you know, not only her, but we have a couple of those hitters that when they square the ball up, it comes off the bat really hard. And – you know, it's just finding your timing, finding your rhythm at the plate, having a good pitch selection, going up there and swinging at the good ones, not swinging at the bad ones and chasing. So, you know, it's just a game of chess. It's, you know, your best 9 or 10 versus their best 9 or 10, and, you know, who's going to make the move and who's going to take chances. And sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't.
But I don't know if this is going to keep up all year, but maybe, I'll ask you. But fans who came out early got a chance to see some live batting practice out on the field, which is something we haven't seen in recent seasons. The girls have hit back in the cage. But you go, is that something you'll do all year, the live batting practice before the game? And it's a reason for fans to come out early to the ballpark. Because the reason I thought about that, you're talking about them hitting the barrel and hitting it hard, and I saw that in live batting practice. They're squaring up a lot of balls.
Yeah, and I think it gives our defense a chance to see how the ball's playing on that day. If it's me, I like to see where the ball's going as a hitter. So I enjoy hitting on the field. You know, in the cage, it doesn't really give you that live look of the flight of the ball. You know, is the wind blowing? That kind of stuff. So there's just little things I feel like you get out of hitting on the field versus hitting in the cages.
Did you learn anything about Mustangs Park in these first six games? I mean, it's not – there's nothing unconventional about the ballpark. I know somebody asked me I guess maybe it was Friday in the Angel game, does the wind always blow in? And it does seem like it blows in more than it blows out.
I think it was blowing in one day, and then it was blowing right field.
We kind of had a crosswind.
Yes. Yeah. But the sun also beams right at the pitcher. Like, it's facing right at the pitcher, and I have noticed.
Especially with the doubleheaders, that the right fielder can have a really tough time near the end of the second game, depending on how things play out.
Yeah.
But the right fielder can have a pretty tough time late in the game with the sun the way it is.
No, and I think that, you know, we've had a pretty decent crowd. I think we had a really good crowd against Lubbock. A lot of fans came out. It was on a Sunday. And so, most people came out after church. And we had a really good crowd. Brady Tigert was in the stands. I don't know if you saw him, but he was actually in the stands against Lubbock. So, was excited to have him back. And but, you know, this weekend we had a good crowd. I feel like we've had a lot of support.
I'm sure with the Lubbock Christian, there was a lot of curiosity about what this team was going to look like.
Yeah.
And I think people that came out there and saw a 13-inning game probably came back this past weekend to see these two games.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a ton of people, local people. I know that Lubbock had a couple local kids that played for them, and so there was a ton of them in the stands. But for the most part, I mean, it was really just like you really weren't sure what you were going to get. You didn't really know what to expect, but then how exciting to go 13 innings and basically play two games in one setting. And you know, again, it's that one run that's, getting us, you know, I think 8 or 9 losses at this point by one run. And it's just a matter of trusting that good things are coming for us.
Let's talk a little bit about the two teams you're going to face this week. You're going to start out not that far from home. You'll have some maroon and gold in attendance in Lawton to watch the game against Cameron. And, while Cameron's struggling a little bit, they've got a 6-game losing streak. Haley Gardella looks like she's a serious hitter for them.
Yeah, I think that, you know, they're going to be a tough team. They're not having the best start, but, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So we're going into Friday. We want to be competitive. I think that there's some things that, you know, we've watched on film, and I feel like we're going to be able to take advantage of. But for the most part, I feel like their pitching isn't going to be overbearing. We're preparing for that in the next couple days, and they're going to be a tough team.
I mean, if you just compare the two pitching staffs, we're going to take Midwestern State's pitching staff every time.
Yes.
I mean, if you're just looking at the numbers.
Yes, absolutely. And it's going to be hittable. It's just, you know, again, our offense, hopefully we take that momentum that we had against the UTPB.
it doesn't roll off the tongue.
It really doesn't.
UTPB does not roll off the tongue.
But I'm excited, though. You know, ready to be on the road. I know that sounds crazy.
No, it may to some, but I know I've talked to coaches for a long time now, and they always talk about it's the road trips where your team really kind of bonds.
Yes, Yeah, we're excited to be on the road. I know it's going to be an hour trip, but for the most part, though, Cameron does have a new turf field, so they got full turf now. A really beautiful facility. So just going down there with the mindset of winning two. I mean, if we win two, we put ourselves in a pretty good situation as far as where we're at in the conference. And then OC, OC is going to be tough. They got a tough
I think
pitcher.
They're ranked 13th in the nation now. Yeah. They've beaten, I think, three ranked teams. They've got a win against just in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Rogers State and West Texas, I know they've got wins against those two teams. And then early this year, they beat Tampa, who at the time was ranked number two.
Yeah. There's, I mean, there's good parts of their lineup. But to me, it's not something that we can't do physically. We can't go in thinking that we're going to lose two games, because I think that we're right there with them, and you know, we can compete with some of the best. It's just a matter of our offense showing up at that point.
I mean, in a way, you've kind of proven that to yourself,
yeah,
haven't you? When you've played close games against some of the better teams on your schedule.
Yeah, and we've played ranked teams, and we've done pretty well against those ranked teams. So, you know, again, just because we're not ranked, or you know, we're two and however and one or however in conference, our record really does not reflect, you know, the good things that this team brings to the table. So excited to go on the weekend, excited to play good competition and see where we're at.
It's entertaining softball that we saw here the last couple of weeks. I'm just sad that you're not going to be back home,
yeah,
for almost a month, but that's okay. Well, good luck on the road. Thanks for doing the podcast, and we'll talk to you again next week after you get get some wins in Oklahoma.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Kalani Bryant on our Stang Gang podcast talking about Midwestern State softball. And, again, the Mustangs on the road, but not far away in Lawton on Friday and then in Edmond on Sunday to take on Oklahoma Christian. Thanks for listening to the Stang Gang podcast. Follow MSU softball at MSUMustangs.com. I'm Pete Stein. So long.